One thing we can always count on in the Senate is drama. And right now we have Mitch McConnell throwing a tantrum. He's telling anybody that will listen to him that if his demands on the filibuster aren't met, he's threatening to block the Senate power-sharing agreement that would put Democrats in charge of the Senate's committees. So you've got two congressmen that are sounding off on this. Brian Schatz is saying that McConnell is threatening to filibuster the organizing resolution, which allows Democrats to assume the committee chair positions. It's an absolutely unprecedented, wacky, counterproductive request. We won the Senate. We get the gavels. Which is true. And you've got Chris Murphy saying, so after Mitch McConnell changed the Senate rules at a blistering pace during his 6 years in charge, he is threatening to filibuster the Senate's organizing resolution unless the Democratic majority agrees to never change the rules again. So there's always drama in the Senate. And, you know, you don't think that Mitch McConnell is a really dramatic person. And he's essentially not. He's very quiet, but he's a master of trying to play 4D chess. You know, we all thought that Donald Trump was playing 6D chess. That's debatable. But in reality, Mitch McConnell loves this little chess game that he's playing at the moment. So to make the point, McConnell is threatening to use the filibuster itself. So he's saying, if you change the filibuster rules, it's almost insane. If you change the filibuster rules, I'm threatening to use the filibuster itself to prevent the Senate's organizing resolution from going forward. So if his demand that Democrats not mess with the filibuster aren't met, he's just going to filibuster, which essentially he's making the argument as to why the filibuster rules probably should be changed, right? I mean, if you're going to use the filibuster to keep people from changing rules about the filibuster, maybe we should take a look at that. Maybe it needs a little changing. But, folks, so what's the immediate downside? I just want to go over some of the details about what the immediate downside to that is and maybe what some of the things are that we could do with relation to all of this. So the immediate downside to McConnell's delay tactic of filibustering the Senate's organizing resolution, if his demands aren't met, and this is according to Politico.com, it says the longer the standoff over the organizing package persists, the weirder the Senate will become. New senators have not been added to committees, and the ratios have not changed, leaving the GOP in the majority on some of the panels. That's already complicating the ability of the Senate to confirm some of Joe Biden's nominees. So that's what's happening right now, and McConnell knows that. And that's why we're getting all of this sort of verbal arm twisting from him not to change the filibuster rules. He's trying to leverage this, obviously. So to be fair, folks, to McConnell, who I'm not a big fan of anyway, but to be fair to McConnell, he chose to keep the filibuster rules in place while Trump literally was attacking him left and right, trying to get him to change the filibuster rules after he was elected. He was doing all of this on Twitter. It was a very public sort of thing. Trump wanted the filibuster changed because he wanted his agenda to be able to go through and get promoted. And to McConnell's credit, he decided not to change the filibuster rules. So he's basically saying, you know, look what I did, you know, when Trump was in office, and I want you guys to do the same thing. What's wrong? You know, that's what he's saying. But he's willing to use the filibuster to prevent it from being changed, which is just sort of ironic. There's an article that I want to tell you about. It's from the highly respected Brookings Institution. It has, it's a great article that discusses the filibuster in detail, and it's in language that can be understood. It does offer some guidance on what could be done to modify the filibuster. So, folks, just a little background. It's called the filibuster, but it's really known as the Senate cloture rule, and that's cloture, C-L-O-T-U-R-E, the Senate cloture rule, and it requires 60 Senate members to end debate on most topics to move to a vote. So it requires that 60 Senate member, majority to end the debate, which is hard to get, obviously. So it all started back in 1806 with the when the Senate removed the ability to end debate with a simple majority vote. So prior to that, you know, a bunch of senators could just stand around and say, all right, we've heard enough, we've heard enough, we've debated enough. Simple, you know, vote, whoever's, you know, if it passes, if there was a majority vote by just one vote over the majority, you could then move on to, you know, voting on the thing that they were debating. But that was changed in 1917 to enable debate, and to end voting, you had to have a two-thirds majority. So that was a change that they made in 1917, two-thirds majority, from a simple majority to a two-thirds. And then in 1975, it was changed to only 60 votes, so it was lowered a little bit then to 60 votes to end debate and then have a vote on something. And that was in 1975. But what are we going to do about the standoff that we've got right now? So like the article said in Politico.com, the GOP is really still in the majority on the Senate panels unless Democrats agree not to change the filibuster like Mitch wants. So what are the next steps? What can we do here? So arguably, folks, Democrats and Republicans, they've both benefited from using the filibuster in the past. One could also argue, though, that it's muddied the agenda of the ruling party. By not allowing it to go forward, that ruling party to go forward with a bold agenda that they were voted into and have. So it's muddied that ability for the winning party to be able to move forward. Consequently, it dilutes and prevents the kind of big change that we need, like right now. So barring the fact that it's probably not going to get removed, there's some Democratic senators that, like Joe Manchin and a few others, that don't want to get rid of the filibuster. So let's assume that that's not an option as a result of that consensus not being there. So here's some of the things that the Brookings Institution has laid out that could be done to modify the current rules that we have. So one of the most disgusting aspects of the filibuster, I think, folks, is that it's used to even prevent opening up an issue for debate. So they don't even let you get to a debate, for God's sakes, with this filibuster. They just start, you know, debate, you know, talking at length, so you don't even get to the point where you can open up the issue for debate. So you could prevent that from happening by preventing senators from filibustering the motion to proceed. So that could be off limits for the filibuster. Number two, you could weaken the Byrd rule that limits adding extra provisions into bills passed by reconciliation. Now, bills that are passed by reconciliation, like Obamacare, for example, they only need a simple majority vote. However, reconciliation has limits on how many bills it can be used to pass in a given year for different types of things. So it has its limitations. And we could, though, weaken the Byrd rule that says you can't add things into bills that are being passed by reconciliation to get things into bills passed by reconciliation. I know this is kind of weirdly inane and sort of complicated stuff, but it has a bearing on where we go as a country with the mandate that we currently have right now, the Democratic mandate. So thirdly, one of the most straightforward ways and one of the most common sense ways to dilute the efficacy of bills blocked by filibuster would be to simply say that a senator can filibuster, essentially keep debating an issue as long as he or she wants, but he has to be physically present to do so. So that keeps them from handing off, you know, starting a filibuster and then handing it off after 4 hours to another senator on the floor that hands it off to another senator on the floor that just keeps it going ad infinitum. You know, so if you said, hey, look, guys, if you want a filibuster, you got to be there. You know, you brought it up. You're the senator that wanted the filibuster. Great. You know, we'll all sit here for 12 hours, 24 hours, but you've got to be the one to stand at the podium and keep talking if you want the filibuster to stand. So this would obviously prevent a filibuster from going on indefinitely because, you know, let's face it, a lot of the senators are old. I mean, they're good for, what, about 12 hours of yapping constantly and, you know, they just fade. So, I mean, that would be one way to do it, folks. But the fact is that we've got to do something here because I understand that McConnell didn't change the filibuster rules while Trump was in office. And that was great. That was a nice thing to do. However, you know, we've got, you know, extenuating circumstances right now with this pandemic, and we've got to get things passed. So we can't look back and say, yeah, we're going to do it like you did it, because we've got situations that didn't exist clearly back when McConnell said that he was going to keep the filibuster intact. So for us to make the bold change that we need to do, obviously the hope is that Chuck Schumer just won't do a handshake and say, I'll never change it, but rather maybe say something like, you know, at the very least, say something like, hey guys, listen, you know what? The filibuster can stand, but we've got an agenda that we've got to get through. If we can't proceed with this agenda that's under extenuating circumstances with this pandemic, if you guys are going to block, we're going to reserve the right, to do what we need to do to get this stuff passed. For now, it's good, but if you start to block, we got to change. So thanks for listening, folks, and hopefully that clarifies some of what the filibuster is about, maybe what we can and can't do. Till next time, thanks for listening.